श्रीमद्भगवद् गीता चैप्टर 13 क्षेत्र क्षेत्रज्ञ विभाग योगः श्लोक 16 बहिरन्तश्च भूतानां अचरं चरमेव च बहिरन्तश्च भूतानां अचरं चरमेव च सूक्ष्मत्वातदविज्ञेयं दूरस्थं चान्तिके च तत् सूक्ष्मत्वातदविज्ञेयं दूरस्थं चान्तिके च तत् भूतानां अन्तः बहिः च दि परब्रह्म इस् बोत् विदिन् अन्तः अण्ड् औट्सैड् आफ् आल् बीयिङ्ग्स् बहिः च बट् इन् द बीयिङ्ग्स् अलोन् परब्रह्म इस् एविडेण्ट् एस् चिताभासः We already saw these terms earlier, so I am not explaining them. So outside the consciousness, it is not evident as Chitabhasa or the reflected consciousness, but there also it is there. So outside also it is there, inside also it is there, even though it is not evident outside. But we should remember, outside the beings, Parambrahma is not evident as Chitabhasa. As reflected consciousness, but there also Parambrahma is evident as the Sat, the existence. Even though the awareness principle is not evident, but the existence principle as Sat, it exists. So Sadrupena Sarvatra Anubhuyate, in all places, everywhere, as Satrupena, as the existence principle. Parantu Chidrupena Na Sarvataha Kevalam Jiva Rasishu Eva. So only in the sentient beings alone, as Chidrupena, as awareness principle, the Chaitanyam manifests. So as Sat, Brahman is evident everywhere, whereas in Jivas, Sat as well as Chit, both of them are evident. That is how we should understand this. So in the outside world, Brahman is evident as Sat alone, in the inside as Chit and Chat. So the for example, when you say the table, the moment you say table is, that is refers to the Sat principle, the existence principle. As even you recognize, we recognize only as table is, chair is, mic is. So outside Brahman is evident as the very Sat. As Chidabhasaha Chit, Brahman is evident only in Jivarasis. Whereas in Jnanis, Brahman is evident not only as Chit and Sat, but also as Anandaha. The others are unhappy conscious beings, whereas a Jnani is a happy conscious being. Thus, Brahman is evident everywhere, but in inert objects, only one aspect is evident, namely the Sat. In Chetana Jivas, two aspects are evident as Chit and Sat, whereas in Jnanis, all the three aspects are evident, namely Chit, Sat and Anandaha. Like the three mirrors. One is a dull mirror, which has a lot of dirt. Another is a slightly better mirror, better clean. The third mirror is very bright. That is the Jnani. So in the first mirror, light is but dull. In the second mirror, light is clearer. In the third mirror, light is the brightest, as good as the original. And even the Brahman is evident as Sat Chit Ananda. So even though Brahman is evident as Sat Chit Ananda, here from the Chit aspect, we say in the Jivas it is evident as Chit aspect. Outside it is not evident because life is not there outside. But whether it is evident or not, it is as Sat. Therefore, Krishna says, Bahihi antaha cha bhutanam. And acharam charameva cha. Charam, again, if you remember, we are going through this adhyaropa apavada method, introduction and then negation. We explained this in the last class. Charam is adhyaropa and acharam is apavada. Everywhere we can take bahihi antaha cha also. Bahihi, we can take as adhyaropa and antaha as apavada. But that is not very clearly seen here. But charam is adhyaropa, acharam is apavada. How? What is Adhyaropa? If you ask, we said when consciousness is appreciated along with something, it is called Adhyaropa. If you remember, we associate something with consciousness and later negate what is associated with consciousness, and consciousness alone remains. That is the method. Now, consciousness is evident here or not? It is very evident in the body. When I feel the consciousness, the very life in the body, it is the experience associated with the body. And when it is associated with the body, what is my feeling? Charam, chetana vastu. Because when I am moving, the consciousness also seems to move along with me. Previously, consciousness was here. Now, when I moved to there, consciousness also has gone to that place. I have moved, it has also moved. Thus, associated with jivarasis, jivas, the consciousness seems to be moving about. So, charam. But in its own nature, chidrupena. As awareness principle, yadyapi chit abhasa rupena charam bhati, chit rupena, in its pure form, acharam, it is free from all movements. So it is free from all movements in the awareness form. So again, remember the example, if there is a mirror on hand, the reflected light is here on the hand, the reflected light is moving as the reflecting medium, namely the hand moves. Remember, the original light does not move with my hand at all, even though the manifestation on the hand moves. Therefore, charam, from the point of view of the associated, if you have to put technically, at every adhyaropa stage, we call it sopadika rupam, associated with, sopadika. At apavada stage, it is nirupadika rupam. So, sopadikam charam, nirupadikam acharam. Sopadikam guna bhoktruhu, nirupadikam is nirgunam. So we can connect all of them. So adhyaropa is along with upadhi. Apavada is negation of upadhi. Upadhi means medium, we have told many times. And then in the second line, durastam chantike chatate. And sukshmatvatavigneyam, that we will see later. So durastam cha antike chatate. Durastam. Durastam means it is far away. At the same time, antikecha, it is very close by also. How do we understand? It is far away and also very close by. When the pure consciousness, when it is associated with Ishvara Upadhi, the Lord, then Ishvara becomes far away, parokshaha. Always people refer to Ishvara as he or she or something or avan. So all those things people talk, all that thing, you know, everything is because of him, that Lord. Nobody says even Sayal, this Lord. Everybody says that Lord, Avan only in Tamil. So even nobody says. So, and whenever we pray to God, where do we look? Not here. Oh Lord, looking beyond the clouds, we look for him all through the skies. So even in our prayers also we say, Sahanav Avatu. Why don't we say, I am Avatu, let this God protect us. We say, let that God, Saha, protect us, that God. That is Purnam Adaha, there also Adaha only. So, therefore, when you have the Upadhi association with the equipment, then Ishvara, the Param Brahma, becomes the faraway Ishvaraha. But when we remove the upadhi of Ishvara, the very same Ishvara is not the Ishvara, but Soham, Saha, Aham, Asmi. I am the very Lord. That Ishvara is nearest. It is not even nearest. It is me, myself. So, Sopadika Ishvara Rupena, Durastam or Paroksham, and Nirupadika Brahma Rupena, Aparoksham. That is how we should understand. So, Yaham, Sakshat, Aparokshat Brahma. Or Shankaracharya puts it in a different way. He says, for an ignorant man, it is durastham. Very simple. For an ignorant person, it is very far. For a wise man, for a jnani, it is very near. Because the ignorant man is always searching for Brahman. The more you search, the more you miss. Why you miss? Because it is yourself. You cannot search anywhere outside of you. Therefore, for an ignorant man, since he is searching and searching all the time, the truth is far, far away. The scientists are still struggling at the truth for centuries, and even now they are not at it. So if they have not got it for several centuries, how far it should be? It should be really durastam, because as long as the inquisitive mind has been there, they have been still searching. They have not got it yet. Voyager has gone beyond several planets, we have seen, till now not arrived at the conclusion. For the ignorant, it is farther than the farthest. For a wise person, it is nearer than the nearest. And therefore, antikecha tathe. The same expression is found in the Isavasya Upanishad also, which we recently concluded. Tate jati, tannai jati, tad dure, tadvantike, tadantarasya sarvasya, tadu sarvasya bahyataha. Fifth shloka. So, and if it is so near, why does not one recognize it? He says, sukshmatvat tat avigneyam. Sukshmatvat tat avigneyam. Being extremely subtle, sukshma. Ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, avyayam, so tada arasam, nityam, agandavachayate. So it is all, there is no shabda, there is no sparsha, there is no rupa, there is no rasa, there is no quality. How can you ever comprehend that without any qualities? That is the Brahman. Because of this extreme subtlety, That means that Brahma, Nyeyam Brahma, that Nyeyam Brahma. So, see the beauty here, Nyeyam Avignyeyam. That Brahman which is to be known, Nyeyam, cannot be known, Avignyeyam. So, Tat Avignyeyam. It cannot be known. Why talk about then for so long if something that cannot be known? What is the use of talking about it at all? Then how to know it? Which will be said in the next shloka that we will read just now. Shloka 17. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktamivachastitam. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktamivachastitam. Bhuta bhartrucha tagneyam grasishnu prabhavishnu cha. Bhuta bhartrucha tagneyam grasishnu prabhavishnu cha. So the pure consciousness is not even an experiencer. It is one all-pervading principle. In its nirupadika swarupam, without any attributes, when it is not in association with anything, but when the very same consciousness is in association with the body, it is available in the body. As what? As the reflected manifest consciousness, as chidabhasa, it becomes an experiencer. Chit is not an experiencer, the chit abhasa is an experiencer. Therefore, I am the original chit, the pure consciousness, who is all pervading. But now when I am functioning in this body, manifesting in this body as chidabhasa, I become an experiencer. Okay. And this body is not one. There are many bodies. And therefore, chidabhasas also are as many in number as the bodies. And each chidabhasa is reflected consciousness. Each chidabhasa becomes an experiencer. And so, as chit, the original consciousness, which is not at all an experiencer, it is one undivided chaitanyam. But the very same chaitanyam, the non-dual chit, appears to be many experiencers in the form of many chidabhasas. There are so many mirrors, so many reflections, so many reflected consciousness. So as many bodies are there, as many reflected consciousness are there. So are many jivatmas. So chidabhasas alone is called jivatma. Therefore, chit, the paramatma, appears as many jivatmas, many chidabhasas, many individuals, the same one chaitanya. Not because chit is many, but because the bodies, the reflecting media are many. Therefore, if someone asks, chit is divided or undivided, what can we answer? From its original standpoint, nirupadika rupena, paramatma rupena, chit is undivided, non-dual, whole. But Chidabhasa, Jivatma Rupena, it appears to be divided. And we have to remember the example, even though sun is only one, if you have 10 mirrors, you will see 10 suns. So from the standpoint view of reflections, the sun appears to be many, but the same sun in its original form is only one. And that is what is said here, Bhuteshu Vibhaktam Ivasthitam. The consciousness appears to be divided, apportioned in every living being, Bhuteshu. And it appears as though in between there is no consciousness also. If you ask a scientist, for example, whether the table has consciousness, he will say the table does not have consciousness. It is unconscious, inert matter. But if we ask where is consciousness, he will say wherever the brain is, there is consciousness. And there also he will accept only temporary consciousness. As long as the brain is alive, there is consciousness. Once that is gone, consciousness also is gone. So it looks as though that consciousness is only in living beings and in between it is not. Therefore, consciousness must be divided. Consciousness must be many and consciousness must be subjected to birth and death. Here Krishna says, they are all only bhranti, only confusion. In fact, no damage is done to consciousness at all. Damage is only done to the brain. And when brain or body is damaged, Chidabhasa is not available anymore, but Chit is there. The reflected consciousness is not there anymore, but consciousness is there. And in the table also, Chidabhasa is not there, but Chit is. Chit is undivided, but appears as divided. Therefore, Krishna says, Avibhaktam. Even though it is undivided consciousness, Vibhaktam Iva Sthitam, it appears as though divided. Vibhaktam Iva, as though. So, Bhuteshu in the living beings. Therefore, Sopadika Rupena, associated with the media Upadis, Vibhaktam, and Nirupadika Rupena, Avibhaktam. Okay. But one thing we have to remember, even though as undivided consciousness, Chit is all-pervading, for teaching purpose, a teacher can make use of Chidabhasa only. For teaching, one cannot use the consciousness as is. A teacher can never point out the original Chit, original consciousness, because it is not available for words, for sense organs, for the mind. Eto vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. It is beyond all these things. So the teacher has to point out only the reflected consciousness, Chidabhasa first. He has to tell, your body is conscious body and you have got consciousness. And having showed this Chidabhasa initially, thereafter he should say, even though this Chidabhasa is confined to the body, if you remove this body also, Chidabhasa will be there, but not as Chidabhasa, but as the pure Chit. That is what the teacher will say. Therefore, na hanyate hanyamane sharire. We have seen this all earlier. When the body is destroyed, I, the consciousness, am not destroyed at all. But I will not be Chidabhasa at that time. I will be Chit, the Brahman. Okay. And in the next line, Krishna says, tat jnayam. And this pure consciousness, the Satchit, the jnayam Brahma, is Bhuta Bhartru, Grasishnu, Prabhavishnu cha. It is the creator, it is the sustainer and the destroyer of the whole universe. Prabhavishnu means creator. Prabhavati means to be born. And Grasishnu means, Grasishnu means what? Literally the swallower. So, Gras to swallow. The one who dissolves, who destroys the world. Not only that, Bhuta Bhartru. Bhartru means the sustainer. So, Bhuta means all the beings and things. So, Brahman, the pure consciousness, is the creator, is the destroyer, and the sustainer of all. It is Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam. It is the Jagat Karanam. It is the Jagat Adhishtanam. So, a lot of Upanishadic ideas are packed up in this particular sloka. Normally, we think matter is the fundamental thing. Consciousness or life is born in matter. This is what the Charvakas say, materialist people. This is how scientists also describe the universe. They say initially only matter was there. There was no living beings at all. Protons, neutrons, electrons, and so many things were there going around, and no life form at all. The Big Bang theory and all those things. Then they say the earth cooled down. And at one time, what happened? There was a beautiful show in the Nova channel today. I was just watching part of it before I came to the lecture. So they were showing about the origination and all this universe and all that. And at one time, what happened? Life came, and they give the date also, so many billions of years ago and all that, 3.5 billion years approximately. A lot of interesting things to read and see. Then at that time, there was this unicellular organism. Slowly that evolved. Evolution theory came. It became fish and other things. Then amphibians and all that in water and land. Then it became living beings on the land. And initially they were walking on four legs. And slowly the monkey situation came. It was doing both jobs. Sometime on two legs, sometimes on four legs. And gradually the hand went up. The tail went inside. And human came. All those evolutions. So this is how they say matter is fundamental. Life came later. And what will happen to life later? Life will perish. After some time, sun will go away. What will remain? Matter alone will remain. This philosophy is called materialism. Matter is fundamental. Life or spirit comes and goes. Whereas scriptural philosophy is the other way around. Consciousness is fundamental. Even before matter, consciousness was. Even before all these hydrogen, oxygen, protons, neutrons, and Big Bang, before all of them, Chaitanyam was. And in Chaitanyam, matter came. And then in Chaitanyam, matter will exist and will be existing. And later, as all the matter may resolve back, and then also Chaitanyam will be left behind. And if the philosophy says Chaitanyam or spirit is fundamental, we call it spirituality. So materialism and spirituality, this is the difference. Here Krishna is saying the spirituality alone, he says, Tat Jnayam. The consciousness is the fundamental thing from which Prabha Vishnu, all the matter came. Grasinishnu, all the matter will go back. Bhuta Bhartru, all the matter will remain. So, thus matter is karyam, the effect, and consciousness is karanam, the cause. In materialism, matter is karanam and consciousness is karyam. And so, what will be the conclusion? The conclusion also will be different. If we say matter is karanam and consciousness is karyam, what will happen? We know there is no karyam other than karanam. There is no effect other than cause. So, if matter is karanam and consciousness is karyam, the conclusion will be what? There is no consciousness other than matter. So consciousness also will be explained in terms of matter only. They will say it is some electrical impulse. In materialism, consciousness being karyam, it has no existence separate from karanam, the matter. Whereas in spirituality, we say consciousness is karanam and matter is karyam. And so there is no matter other than consciousness. There is no matter at all. That is what we say. So according to Vedanta, matter does not exist. Consciousness alone exists. No matter other than consciousness. Consciousness with Nama Rupa is matter. Matter minus Nama Rupa is consciousness. This is our teaching. So Bhuta Bhartru Cha Tajneyam Grasishnu Prabha Vishnu Cha. Shloka 18. Jyotishamapi tajyotih tamasah paramuchyate. Jyotishamapi tajyotih tamasah paramuchyate. Jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hriti sarvasya vishtitam. Jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hriti sarvasya vishtitam. Now the question Krishna is trying to ask and discuss is how to know the absolute Brahman, which is undivided. Is Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam, etc., all those things, how do we know that Brahman is all Karanam for all these when it is undivided? Now here Krishna has to point out that the very approach of knowing Brahman, that itself is wrong. Because when we know something, it is illumination of the thing with one instrument or the other. For example, knowing a color means what? Is nothing but illumining it with the eyes. Knowing sound is illumining the sound with your ears. The instrument is called pramanam. When we illumine an object with a pramanam, like eyes, ears, etc., the object becomes illumined, known by us. It becomes prameyam, pramanam and prameyam. So knowing is illumining. Illumining is done by pramanams, sense organs, mind, etc. The object is illumined, it becomes known, it becomes prameyam. Here Krishna wants to say, Brahman can never be illumined by anything because Brahman is not at all prameyam, an object. Then what is Brahman? Brahman is the very pramatha who is using all pramanams to illumine all prameyams. In the very subject, it is the very, very subject who uses every instrument to know the objects, the pramatha. In fact, the pramanams themselves are illumined by the pramatha, the very subject. And so I am the pramatha, the conscious principle. I lend consciousness to the five sense organs, and borrowing consciousness from me, light from me, the sense organs are now effulgent. And with these sense organs, I illumine what? All the objects of the world. So when the sense organs themselves are illumined by me, how they can think of illumining myself? Remember the example, the sun, the mirror, dark room example. Sun gives light to the mirror. We already gave this example earlier. Sun gives light to the mirror because it has the reflected light. With this borrowed light, reflected light, the mirror can illumine objects in a dark room. Now, if we try to illumine the sun with the reflected light of the mirror, it will be a foolish attempt because the mirror light itself is borrowed from the sunlight. So mirror light never illumines the sunlight. In fact, mirror itself is illumined by the sunlight. So the sunlight is compared to the pramatha. The mirror is the pramanam. The dark room is the prameyam in this example. Now, if we say that the mirror cannot illumine the sun, will it mean that the sun will be dark? No. Mirror cannot illumine the sun, need not illumine the sun, because sun is self-effulgent. Mirror has to illumine the dark room because dark room is not self-effulgent. Similarly, all our instruments have to illumine the world. No instrument need to illumine the consciousness because consciousness is self-effulgent, is self-evident. So Krishna says here, Jyotisham api Jyotihi. It, the Brahman, the Chaitanyam, is the light of all lights. Jyotisham api, of all the lights. All lights means all the pramanams, the sense organs, the mind and all those things. So here Jyoti does not mean a flame of light. One should not think flame of light and all. It is only a symbolic usage for Chaitanyam. In Vedanta, light or Jyoti, that means in which presence things are known. That is what is known in Vedanta. So it is not light or flame in the normal sense of the term, and all the sense organs are effulgent because of consciousness alone. So none of them can illumine consciousness, none of them need to illumine consciousness also, because consciousness is self-evident. As what? As aham. Aham, the I. That is why to say there is a sound, I have to use my ears. There is a color, I have to use my eyes. To say there is smell, I have to use my nose. But to say I am here, what instrument should I use? To say I am here, we do not require any instrument at all. We need not even think I am here or not. To say whether I am here or not, in the class or not, I don't need any instrument at all. To say whether my mind is here or not, for that something else may be needed. Because mind may be here or mind may be elsewhere. One may be perhaps listening to the class or listening elsewhere. Even Shastram is not required to say, I am here. Shastram only says, you are Brahman. Jyotishamapi tajyotihi. It is the light of all lights. It is the self-evident consciousness. Not only that, tamasaha paramuchyate. It is an unique light because all other lights can illumine objects. But those lights, they cannot illumine darkness. Can light illumine darkness? It's a very beautiful question. Suppose you bring a light to illumine darkness. What will happen? Darkness won't be there. Darkness is a place where there is no light. So darkness can never be illumined by a light. If you have a doubt, you can try also. Actually, that's why Swamiji gives a beautiful example. A master once asked the servant, please take this, you know, in India, we have got all these Petromax lights, the lights they carry on head when, you know, during all these marriages and all. So take that Petromax light and keep it in a place where there is darkness. That's what the master told the servant. Take that light and go and place it in a place where there is darkness. This obedient servant, he took the Petromax light and went from place to place. But wherever he goes, there was no darkness. So he comes back and tells the master, I did not place the Petromax anywhere because there was no darkness anywhere. Similarly, here also, light can illumine things, but cannot illumine darkness. Because where there is darkness, light is not there to illumine. And if light cannot illumine the darkness, then what is illumining the darkness? Only consciousness can illumine light as well as darkness. Similarly, every sense organ can illumine the presence of things. We say there is a man. The eyes have illumined. At another, we say there is nobody there. How did we know that there is nobody? We cannot say, I saw with the eyes. We can see the presence of people with the eyes. How can we see the absence of people with the eyes? Because what is the color of the absence of people? Form of absence. So, presence of people alone, we can illumine with instruments. Absence of people, we'll illumine with what? With consciousness, not with eyes. So, consciousness is an unique thing which can illumine the presence and absence of light and things. Whereas, the worldly light can illumine only the presence, but the absence of things, it cannot. It's a very, very interesting idea to understand. And so Krishna says, it is beyond tamaha. Tamaha means darkness and light, because it is the illuminator of darkness. Param. Param means beyond, untouched by, unaffected by. Tamaha. Tamaha means darkness. So then, jnanam, jnayam, jnana gamyam. It is jnanam, normally taken as knowledge. But in this context, Shankaracharya takes as those values, amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantihi, arjavam, all those things we saw earlier. So that jnanam also is Brahman only, because Brahman is everything. Sarvam kalu idam Brahma. Since Brahman is everything, Brahmarpanam, Brahma, you know, the Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agno, Brahma Nahudam, Brahma. So we already saw these slokas, Brahma Ivatena Gandavim, Brahma Karma Samadhi. So here the jnanam, the values also is Brahman. Then Nyayam Brahma, what is to be known is also Brahman. So the values are also Brahman. What is to be known also is Brahman. And Jnana Gamyam, here Gamyam means Palam. Jnana Palam, the Palam that is attained by Jnanam, the values, that also is Brahman. So by the values, what palam? The palam of moksha one gets. That moksha also is Brahman. So values are Brahman. Through values, what is known is Brahman. And by knowing Brahman, what moksha one attains is also Brahman. That is what the shloka says. So sadhanam and sadhyam are Brahman. And this is also another important point. In Vedanta, moksha is taken as Brahman itself. Because if moksha is different from Brahman, what will happen? Anything different from Brahman is anityam. We have already told, fundamental rule. Anything different from Brahman is anityam. So if moksha is different from Brahman, moksha also becomes anityam, ephemeral. That is why we don't say that moksha is a state of experience. We don't say that. If so, that also will become impermanent. Because mind is impermanent. its experiences are impermanent. So if we get some peculiar joy or a mystic experience and call it moksha, you had it, because as long as you have that experience, you will be a mukta purushaha. And as the experience goes away, moksha also gradually goes away. Then that is why we don't say moksha is a place, Vaikuntha, Kailasa. We don't call any of them as moksha. If it is different from Brahman, moksha will be anitya. So according to Vedanta, moksha is Brahman, and attaining moksha is attaining Brahman. And so jnana gamyam api mokshaha api brahma eva. And what is that Brahman? It is myself. It is not different from me. Therefore, moksha is myself. And so if you are trying to attain moksha, you are going to be in an eternal trip only. That trip will never conclude. This is the Vedantic teaching. Moksha is Brahman. Brahman is myself. And so moksha is myself alone. So trying to attain moksha, one will never succeed, because moksha is oneself. It is like keeping the light behind and running after my own shadow. The shadow will go farther and farther as I run after that. And that is why Krishna says, sarvasya hridi vishtitam, that moksha, the Brahman, is nowhere else. It is in the hearts, in the mind of all the people, as the very chaitanyam available in the body. So vishtitam, vishtitam means visheshena stitam. Vishtitam means visheshena stitam, evidently available. Because otherwise what will happen? Again, people will mistake that consciousness is in the heart, and they will start meditating upon that, hoping that the consciousness will come during meditation in the form of a jyoti, some light, some kind of blue light or orange light, something. Therefore, the word jyotihi, that has created a lot of confusion. They think that consciousness is in the form of a jyoti. Krishna has used the word jyotihi, and has also say, he also says it is in the heart. And so they practice intense meditation, looking for that consciousness as jyoti to come in meditation. And they say they have meditated for the last 12 years and no jyoti has come. No jyoti will come, because the consciousness is not an object one will get in meditation. But that consciousness is I, the very I, the meditator. Therefore, meditation should be that I am the consciousness, not looking forward to something else external. Okay. In meditation, one should never look forward to anything. If one looks forward to something, one will be in a permanent trip. That's what I told Voyage. And even if one gets experiences, they will not be Brahman, because they will come and they will go. And I, who is before experience, during the experience, and continue even after the experience, that I, the consciousness, is Jnayam Brahma. So Jnayam is Kshetrajnaha, which is myself, I, myself. Thus, this shloka, this can be called as a Mahavakya shloka, because the Param Brahma is revealed as the very Atma Chaitanyam in the heart. So yo veda nihitam guhayam parame vyomanna. So with this Mahavakyam, revealing the Parambrahma as the very Chaitanyam in all, Krishna concludes the Jnayam topic. So among the various questions, the Jnayam topic also is concluded. Now he will enter into the next topic. And before that, Krishna sums up the topic that he has already covered. Shloka 19. Iti kshetram tata jnanam jnayam choktam samasatah. Iti kshetram tata jnanam jnayam choktam samasatah. Madbhaktayetad vijnayam madbhavoyopapadyate. Madbhaktayetad vijnayam madbhavoyopapadyate. Iti samasatah uktam. Samasataha Uktam. Till now, I have briefly taught you. Samasataha Uktam. Samasataha means briefly, concisely. Because we should remember that the topic Krishna has covered alone is very elaborately discussed in the Upanishads. So, Panchakosha Viveka, the Chaitanyam is revealed and the Srishti Prakaranam, Brahman is revealed, and then through Mahavakya, Jiva Brahma Aikyam is talked about. All those things are all Upanishads. And all of them are put in a nutshell by Krishna here. And so he says, Samasataha Uktam. I have taught you briefly what are the things? Kshetram, Jnanam, and Jnayam. Tata means conjunction. And Krishna has left out one thing. Perhaps he is testing us, maybe, Swamiji says, whether we remember or not. So he has talked about Kshetrajnaha. That also we have to include here. So Kshetram, Kshetrajna, Jnanam, and Jnayam he has talked about. And why did Krishna omit Kshetrajna? Actually, even though he has talked about it, explicitly it is not told. The reason can be only one thing. We have already seen that Kshetrajnaha and Jnayam Brahma are one and the same. That is why in the previous shloka itself, when Krishna said, Hridi Sarvasya Vrishtitam, Kim Rupena Vrishtitam, in what form? Kshetrajna Rupena Eva. That's the form of Kshetrajna only. So he has already told that Param Brahma is in the heart of all. Jnayam is in the heart of all. As what? Kshetrajna. So Jnayam and Kshetrajna are one and the same. Jnayam is Tat Padartha and Kshetrajna is Tvam Padartha. Both are essentially one and the same. In Tattvamasi, Tatpadartha is Jnayam and Kshetrajna is Tvam Padartha. So four topics have been already covered out of the six topics asked by Arjuna. That we should remember. Prakritim Purushan Chaiva, Kshetram Kshetrajna Evacha, Yetat Veditum Ichchami, Jnanam Jnayam Cha Keshava. That was the question Arjuna asked. Now two more only are remaining. And what are those? Prakriti and Purusha, which he will deal with in the rest of the chapter later. Now Krishna gives the palam for knowing these four topics. Because in between, if palam is mentioned, people will be happy. There is some benefit of knowing all this. That's what people might think. So everybody wants palam only. So Krishna says, Yetat Vijnaya, knowing these four factors, Yetat. Yetat refers to the Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Jnana, and Jnaya. And how should one know? Madbhaktasan, surrendering to me, being my devotee. Because this knowledge, being extremely subtle, Ishvara Anugraha also is necessary. It is not adequate that I put effort. Ishvara's grace is necessary for me to understand. And so Madbhaktaha San, having surrendered unto me, taking refuge in me as a devotee, the one who comes to know these four factors, and it means what? Aham Brahma Asmi Iti Jnana. Because the knowledge of Kshetrajna is complete only when one knows that Kshetrajna as identical with Jnayam. Similarly, the knowledge of Jnayam is complete only when Jnayam is known as identical with Kshetrajna. If their identity is not known, Kshetrajna and Jnayam are not understood. And that Kshetrajna being myself, the knowledge of these four factors amounts to knowing Aham Kshetrajnaha Jnayam Brahma Asmi. This is that knowledge. Then we may wonder, why should we know? We should know Jnanam at all. Is it not enough that we know Aham Kshetrajnaha Jnayam Brahma Asmi? That's adequate. Why Jnanam at all? Remember, Jnanam means values in the context of this chapter. And only by following Jnanam, the values, I can know Aham Kshetrajnaha Jnayam Brahma Asmi. So the values are very important. Jnanam means values. Thus, all of them are necessary. Jnana Anushtanena, by following the values, Aham Kshetrajnaha Jnayam Brahma Iti Jnana Janati. So one comes to know. So if one comes to know, what is the palam for him? What is the benefit? Mad bhavaya upapadyate. He becomes fit to attain my nature. Ishvara swarupam or Brahma swarupam, to be very precise, madbhavam. That means he gives up his jiva swarupam and attains Brahma swarupam. Then we may wonder, what is the great deal? Brahma swarupam. Why should I give up my jiva swarupa and attain Brahma swarupa at all? Remember, Jiva Swarupa means what? Is Samsari Swarupa. Jiva is Samsari. Having birth, death, so many relations, association, separation, old age. Whereas Brahma Swarupa is moksha. He gives up samsara and attains moksha. That is the benefit. So having given the Palashruti for these four topics, Krishna enters into the next two topics, which are Prakriti and Purusha, which are not answered yet. Shloka 20. Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidyanadi Ubhavapi. Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidyanadi Ubhavapi. Vikaramscha Gunaschaiva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. Vikaramscha Gunaschaiva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. Here Krishna discusses Prakriti and Purusha simultaneously. Takes them together. Previously, the other four factors were discussed individually, but separately. Whereas here, he is taking them simultaneously together. He is clubbing Purusha and Prakriti, and both are discussed hand in hand in this case. And that is why he introduces Prakritim Purusham Chaiva, Prakriti and Purusha together. So discussion goes up to 24th shloka. So 20 to 24, the Prakriti and Purusha topics. So what are the meaning of the words Prakriti and Purusha that we should know? Prakriti is identical with Maya of Vedanta. In Vedanta, Prakriti means Maya. And Prakriti word is more often used in the Sankhya philosophy. But in Vedanta also, we borrow from that and we use the same word Prakriti. In Vedantic context, the more popular word is Maya. But both Prakriti and Maya are same. And this Prakriti is nothing but the fundamental matter, Moola Karana, which alone modifies to become the whole creation. All materials are born out of the fundamental matter called Prakriti. In fact, the grammatical meaning of the word Prakriti is material cause. The modifying cause is called Prakriti. For example, wood is the Prakriti for furniture. Gold is the Prakriti for ornaments. So, Upadana Karanam is called Prakriti. The material cause is called Upadana Karanam, that is Prakriti. And this Prakriti alone modifies to become the various effects, the karyams. And the karyams are technically called Vikritis. So, Prakriti and Vikriti. Prakriti is Upadana Karanam and Vikriti is karyam. So, wood is Prakriti. All types of furniture are Vikritis. Gold is Prakriti and all ornaments are Vikritis. Earth is Prakriti and all planets are all Vikritis. So these are all various, all plants are Vikritis. So it is only a difference for Karanam and Karyam, different word. Okay, and the other factor is called Purushaha. So this is Prakriti and now the other factor is what? Is called Purushaha. Purushaha means what? We saw in the introduction itself, Purushaha is identical with Kshetrajnaha, the self, the Atma. And for this also, there is a definition. The one who dwells in the body is called Purushaha. Puram, Puram means body. Purushaha, one who lives in the body, the Atma. In Sanskrit, both have got derivation actually. Prakarshena kriti yogyatvat prakritihi, which can be modified, is called Prakriti. Pure vasati iti purushaha. So one who dwells in the purusha is the body. In the puram is called the body. The puram is the body. The one who dwells in the body is purushaha. So this alone in Western philosophy is called as matter and spirit. Prakriti is called matter and purusha is called spirit. In Vedanta, purusha is identical to Brahman, while Prakriti is Maya. So Krishna says, O Arjuna, Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Anadi. Prakriti also is beginningless, Anadi, so is Purusha. Matter also is beginningless and so is spirit. And that is why we should not ask the question, how did Maya come? Because it is Anadi. Maya never comes. Maya is all the time. How did Brahman come? No question. Brahman is. Brahman and Maya are there from beginningless time. That is why in Tattva Bodha we saw, so Brahma Shraya Sattva Rajas Tamo Gunatmika Maya Asti. That was the definition given in Tattva Bodha. Both were there. We can ask the question, how the world came? We will never answer. because the world came out of Brahman Maya mixture. But Brahman Maya itself did not come out of anything. And this Brahman Maya coupled together is called Ishwaraha. And so the Ishwara has got one spirit aspect and matter aspect. This we had seen actually in the 7th chapter, if you remember. The same Brahman Maya was termed by another terminology there, that the spirit, the Brahman aspect, was called Paraprakriti. I am just only refurbishing. Chaitanyam. And Maya, the matter, that aspect was called Aparaprakriti. But we also have seen that Maya does not have an independent existence, but depends on Brahman only. There is really no two, there is no duality at all, but only Brahman. Brahma Ashraya Maya Asti. That is the definition of Tattva Bodha. Not an independent entity, so no duality at all. Depending on Brahman, Maya exists. It is like you and your shadow. The shadow has same features as myself. It also moves. But shadow cannot be counted as one separately. It has only a shadowy existence, as Swami says. Another example is your own image in the mirror. But the image cannot be counted as another person. We do not order 2 cups of coffee because I see the image in the mirror. So countable entity is only one, that is Brahman. Maya is an uncountable entity. Therefore, it is as good as not there. Underline as good. That is what we call as mithya. It is there, but it is as good as not there. Mithya. Mithya means it is there, but it is as good as not there. So Brahman alone is satyam. Maya is mithya. So mithya maya cannot be counted, and so advaitam eva. There is only one. Okay. So the difference between the Purusha and Prakriti also we should remember. We had seen in Tattva Bodha, also in the 7th chapter, Para Prakriti and Apara Prakriti, Purusha is Chetanam. Prakriti is Achetanam. Purusha is Nirvikaram. And Prakriti is Savikaram. Nirvikaram means changeless. Savikaram means changing, modifying. Purusha is Nirgunam. And Prakriti is Sagunam. Sattva Rajastamo Gunatmika Maya Asti. So it is endowed with the Sattva Guna, Rajoguna, and Tamo Guna. Purusha is Satyam. And Prakriti is Mithya. These 4 differences alone are relevant for our discussion here. And so we use this, even though there are many more differences which, you know, in Tattva Bodha and so many other places given, we have seen in different contexts. And before the Srishti, only the Purusha and Prakriti were there as Ishwara. And remember, we are using the word Purusha and Prakriti here. We should know it is Brahman and Maya alone. Purusha and Prakriti, even though we are using that word, it is nothing but Brahman and Maya. The same Vedanta in a new bottle perhaps, with a new name. So Purusha is what? Brahma Chaitanyam. Prakriti is Maya. So these 2 alone were there before Srishti. Then what happened at the time of Srishti? Prakriti, the Maya, it underwent modifications. Whereas Purusha cannot undergo any modification. It remains one indivisible whole, unaffected consciousness, which is the Chit, the all-pervading Chit. It continues to be the all-pervading Chit even now. How then the Prakriti underwent the modification? Blessed by Purusha. Because of Purusha, it went through modification. So if you remember the 9th chapter, Krishna said there, Maya Adhyakshena Prakritihi Suyatesa Characharam. That's what he said. Maya Adhyakshena, under my presidency, under my leadership, the Prakriti modifies to become the Charachara Prapanjam. Charachara Prapanjam it became. Now the same idea of the 9th chapter is given here by Krishna. In the presence of Purusha, the Brahman, blessed by Purusha, the Prakriti, the Maya, modifies to become the Charachara Prapancha. And so he says, Vikaramscha Gunamschaiva. All Vikaras, all modifications, all effects. This Vikaras alone, we said earlier as Vikriti, products, effects, karyam, all of them are same. And all these Vikaras, as well as the Gunas, the various properties, the attributes, the properties can be both outside properties in the form of sound, color, smell, touch, taste, which are external properties. Similarly, internal properties also of the mind like raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, moha, all those things. So, bahya gunaha and antara gunaha, both of them. So, we say he has got a different character. Means what? It's an internal property. All of them are prakriti sambhavan. Products are born out of prakriti alone, maya alone. They are all property of that. And all of them includes the charam and acharam. Even the bodies and are products of prakriti only. Even though the body is called a living being, which are nothing but animals, plants, humans, etc., they are also nothing but various bodies and they are also modifications of prakriti only. Just because this is a conscious body, one should not think that this is a modification of Purusha. This body is a modification of prakriti only. The conscious body is also prakriti vikaraha. The inert earth also is prakriti vikaraha. Whether conscious or inert, all entities are prakriti vikaras only. So, prakritim purushan chaivam vidhyati ubhavapi vikaramscha gunamscha viddhi prakriti sambhavan. So, we'll stop here for today and we'll continue in the next webinar. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti lina sege parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna arpanamastu Narayana.